Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get things started here. Welcome to Longwell USA 2015. I would like to draw your attention here to the program guide. This is the program we'll be working off this week. We have five sessions this week. We have a morning session, an afternoon session today and tomorrow, and then we have a session on Wednesday morning. Also, tomorrow at lunchtime, we'll have the keynote luncheon. Hal Quinn will be here speaking about how the political landscape is changing in D.C., and we're also going to give awards to the top three performing longwalls. Tickets for that event, I think, are $75, maybe less, and it's a seated event, so if you haven't bought your ticket yet, you should. Anyway, I'd like to hand things off this morning to Drew Potts. He's our chairman for this morning session, and he will be introducing the speakers. Thank you.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the health and safety session of Longwell USA. Due to some flight problems, the last talk of the day or of this session has been postponed. We're going to try to work it in later in the program. But Mike Nelson actually isn't going to be here till later in the afternoon, so we'll try to work it into a later session. We do have three other presentations today, though, excellent presentations, and at the end of each talk, there will be an opportunity for some questions and answers. So our first presenter today is my colleague Jim Ryder. Jim has a BS degree in mathematics from Jacksonville University. He's team leader for the Coal Mine Dust Control Group in the Dust Ventilation and Toxic Substances branch of NIOSH, Office of Mine Safety and Health Research. Jim has 28 years of experience in health and safety research in areas including ergonomics, acoustics, and dust control. The title of his presentation is An Improved Longwall Water Directional Spray System.
Let's get situated.
Good morning. We're just going to jump right into it, and this is the outline for today. We're going to talk about today's longwall, some of the statistics of what's going on in the field, some compliance data, and the reason why we're doing this research, and it's the disease associated with the mining process. We're talking about two things, a tailgate spray manifold that extends the shear clear type system or directional spray system down towards the tailgate drum, and also some underside shield sprays that hopefully will extend the system a little upwind of the headgate drum. And the tailgate spray manifold, basically that research has been completed. We did some laboratory research, and we were able to take it underground. The traveling water curtain and underside shield sprays, that's in process. That research is ongoing right now. So let's get into it. The longwall statistics, as you know, that approximately about 53% of all underground production is on the longwall. Working faces back in the 90s were about 80. They've leveled off in the high 40s right now. But production continues to go up. And as you know, with production, there's more dust. The panel widths, now they're over 1,100 feet. The panel lengths have increased to over 11,000 feet. And the average cutting height in 2013 was 91 inches. So very powerful type machines, as we know, and they do create a lot of dust. Here's some of the data from MSHA, basically the headgate operator, the jack setter, and the tailgate operator. And this is under the new standard, the 1.5 milligrams per cubic meter. And as you can see, the jack setter and the tailgate operator are sitting about 15%. Now, I just received some data yesterday for 13 and 14, and the tailgate operator, actually, those numbers have increased to about 16 to 17%. Now, the jack setter, those samples exceeding the Pell are down about 10 or 11%. So for the jack setter, it looks like we're making some progress, but we still have a long way to go. Here's the reason why. Respirable dust in coal mining, dust less than 10 microns in size cannot be seen with the human eye. It overexposures cause lung disease. We know this. You know, back in 1969, it was the first effort to regulate the minor exposure. It was established at 2 milligrams per cubic meter. It required occupational dust sampling by AMSHA and mine operators, established a X-ray surveillance program, and established black lung benefits. And control technologies are implemented to reduce worker dust exposure. That was all what happened in 1969. As you know, last year they passed a modified version of that where the sampling rate is basically changing, and also it's being reduced from 2.0 milligrams per cubic meter to 1.5. Disease caused by the inhalation of coal dust, fibrotic diseases, damage and destroy the lung, coal workers' pneumoconiosis, black lung, and silicosis, also COPD, bronchitis, emphysema, and mineral dust airways diseases. As you can see, this is a healthy lung here. This is a miner that had CWP, had black lung, and very similar is silicosis. Both of these lung diseases are disabling, and they can be fatal. And this is where I kind of, it tugs at my heart a little bit. I mean, these guys go underground. They work their entire life. They're getting close. I'm basically at their age right now. And it's a struggle for them to breathe. We take breathing for granted. No one has thought about breathing for years and years and years. Every breath they take, they think about it. No, there's no cure. And so the disease must be prevented. Progressive massive fibrosis, this is the worst case of CWP. Lungs can become stiff and cannot expand fully. Breathing becomes difficult. Lips and fingernails are bluish. The way it was explained to me was normal breathing. If you would breathe into a balloon, you just breathe in and out, and the balloon expands back and forth. That's kind of typical normal type breathing. When you have CWP, if you breathe into a bag and how that bag expands, that's the difference. It's very difficult for that bag to expand with CWP. Now, moving on to respirable silica, we found, and this is really taken off in the last 10 years or so. It's much more toxic than coal dust. Freshly fractured silica is more toxic than aged silica. Smaller particles are more toxic. And consequently, silicosis, airway diseases, pulmonary diseases, chronic renal diseases, and lung cancer are a result of this. And this is a major concern in the industry today with the amount of rock that we're cutting because of the size of the machines. Three different types of silicosis. Chronic occurs after 10 years of exposure, swelling in the lungs, trouble breathing, similar to COPD. Accelerated, and we're seeing more and more of this, develops in 5 to 10 years. Symptoms can occur faster than chronic, and then acute develops in less than 5 years, which is critical. Lungs become inflamed with fluid, severe shortness of breath. Oh, I had another slide in there. I guess we had some difficulty loading this, but what I was going to show you is a slide of the amount of CWP over the last 25 to 30 years. It started at about 30% and went down to approximately 2 or 3% about 10, 15 years ago. And there's been a spike in the last 10 years, and it's up to 6 or 7% for miners over 25 years. And that was very alarming with all the dust control efforts from 1969 until now. And also, it was pointed out to me last week that UBB, they did some, they found of the 29 miners that they looked at, 17 of those miners had black lung. And that was very alarming to us. You know, and so it is very prevalent in the industry. So that's the reason why. Okay, and what we found with our underground observations, shield sprays interacting with splitter arm sprays, dust and mist clouds roll. They roll into the walkway, upwind of the headgate splitter arm. They roll around it, as you can see here. Spalling upwind of the headgate drum and elevated dust levels for jack setters and tailgate shear operators. And so we decided a few years back to take a look at those areas and see where we can make an impact with a directional spray system. Now, this is the original Shear Clear. It's been modified into the directional spray system. The intent is basically to use sprays in some type of passive barriers along from the headgate drum to the tailgate drum and create an envelope of dirty air and clean air. Clean air is back in the walkway. Dirty air is basically we're trying to keep it pushed up against the face. And obviously, these are some of our concerns that it rolls around. There's not enough, or the sprays in this area are lacking. And once again, down at the tailgate area, it can roll around and affect these operators. So what this research is trying to do is trying to expand this area about 20 to 25 feet downwind of the tailgate drum and expand this area about 10 to 15 feet upwind of the headgate drum. And with that, we can hopefully take these miners and move them into these areas, and they won't be overexposed. First thing we did is we're back down at the tailgate, and we're looking at a tailgate spray manifold. And what we found in our laboratory, our conditions were really not conducive to what we found underground. This is probably about 10 to 12 feet from the end of the shear to the center line of the tailgate drum. What we did is we modified our laboratory setting of our tailgate drum. We modified it with four different sampling locations all the way to 10 feet downwind of that shear. Now, this has been replaced. We have a new, in our laboratory, a new Joy 7LS, a modified version of that. And it's very realistic. Now, the laboratory test, the plan view of this is typically where your jack setters are going to be located. Now, the shear is pushing up towards the head gate, and we're mining bi-die. And this is typically where your tailgate operators are going to be located. So we sample it in all these areas. Our test inlet locations were 18, 42, 48, and 120 inches from the shear. So we inundated this area with dust, and we sampled here. The tailgate spray manifold was located basically on the shear body in this location. This is the way we sampled. We used a gravimetric dust sampler, very similar to what we use underground. It provides a time-weighted average of respirable dust. It's a 10 millimeter Duralder cyclone, 37 millimeter PVC filter, and pumps operated at 2 liters a minute. We also used PDRs. It's a personal data RAM. It's an instantaneous light scattering device. Relative concentrations can be impacted by size distribution of dust, the composition of dust, and water mist. So we adjust the readings with the adjacent gravimetric samplers. And here's a graph of some of the data that we can see. So every one of those sampling locations had these two instruments available. The type of test we ran, it was just an ABA test, where we inundate the area with dust. Hopefully we can see that. This is the walkway. Here's our spray manifold, and here's the drum and a dust source. And then we turned the spray on. We gathered data for 20 minutes. We turned the spray on, gathered data for 20 minutes, turned the spray off, and gathered data for 20 minutes. And here's our sampling locations in our longwall gallery. We tested at 5, 7, and 900 feet a minute and spray pressures of 100, 150, and 200 PSI. Here are the manifolds. We developed or fabricated a 3D, a BD3 manifold with a single spray bar, seven hollow cone sprays, 42 inches from the tailgate drum, and it was angled towards the face. So we wanted to make sure that spray mist created by this is not getting back in that walkway, because we all know if it does, those miners will not use it. Also, we fabricated what we called a 40-20 manifold. It was a single spray bar. It was a spraying system's 40-20 flat fan spray. There were two sprays, 47 inches from the tailgate drum and 15 degrees towards the face. Now, this 40-20 is an indication of the spray angle at 40 degrees and 2 gallons a minute at 25 PSI. That's the nomenclature on there. The final manifold that we tested was the 6515 spray manifold. And once again, there were two spray bars, 6515s on each of the spray bars, and they were 32 and 37 from the tailgate drum. That paralleled the face. It was about 5 to 10 degrees towards the face. The results associated with that, this is showing dust reductions efficiencies at 100 PSI, one series of the tests. What we found is for all three manifolds, there were significant reductions in dust between 50 and 99%. And you can see here the dust levels from shield 15 all the way to shield 20 and the different velocities at 100 PSI. But it was a very effective type spray. Also, to graph some of this data, this is the gravimetric data that we talked about. We're using the SS65 flat hand sprays. Here are the sampling locations. Here's the dust concentration, and here are some of our test conditions. We use the extreme test conditions. Velocities at 500 feet a minute and 900 feet a minute, and spray pressures at 100 and 200 PSI. Once again, when sprays were off the dust levels and when the sprays were on the dust levels, and as expected, as we get away from the spray manifold, which is located close to sampling location 15, the dust increases, but still significant reductions. And as you can see, if we increase the velocity and increase the pressure, very, very little dust levels. So it was very successful in the laboratory. Also, I want to show the instantaneous data. And this is the 4020 flat fan spray, where here are the dust levels with the same type of arrangement. Here's on the y-axis of the concentrations. Here's times 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And here are the dust concentrations for all the sampling locations. Dust on, sprays on, dust on. And you can see, once again, very, very efficient. This little line here is the dust in the return. That's how we normalized our data. So if you're wondering what that is. So once again, we thought that it was very, very efficient in the laboratory. And when we get these types of results in the laboratory, you know, close to 50, 60, 70, 80% reductions, we like to try to get underground. And we contacted some mines, and one let us get underground. But before that, I'd like to talk about how well, from a statistical standpoint, these spray systems did. And we're looking at the difference exists between nozzle spray pressure and increasing velocity. And it's a simple two-tailed t-test, unequal variances and significance level of 0.05. And you can see here's the spray manifolds, here's the pressures, and we're comparing these pressures 100 to 150, 100 to 200, and you can see that there's some significant difference as we increase the spray pressure for the BD3, for the SF's 4020, Not surprisingly, for the 6515, there was not. When we looked at velocity, increasing velocities from 5 to 700, and then from 5 to 900, 700 to 900, there was no significant difference there. Those DUFS levels were fairly low. Now, looking at spray manifold systems, now we're looking at the actual manifold system, the BD3 manifold system compared to the SS4020 and the SS65 at 100, 150, and 200 PSI. There was some difference, significant difference, between the BD3 and the SF65. And there was some significant difference between the 4020. So we've, from this data, we basically said that the two manifold system with 6515 sprays on it was probably the best bet for taking underground. What were we able to do? We found a mine. We went out and we fabricated the mine per the mine specification, the manifold, the tailgate manifold per the mine specifications, and it was 9.5 inches wide, 6.5 high, and 2.25 deep. Six spray locations. We used upper left, lower middle, upper right in our testing sequence. Here it is in our laboratory, testing it. And you can see the spray plume that it created. This was at 150 PSI. And here it is underground installed, and here's the spray plume. Unfortunately, the mine we were at, we couldn't get our flash photography to work properly. And so these were taken without any flash. So we did get some pictures. But what we found, well, here's our sampling strategy again. Once again, the mining conditions, the seam height was 8 feet. The face velocity, and this is critical, was 1,300 feet a minute. The tailgate pressure, what we found, was 120 to 130 PSI. Our laboratory conditions, when we went out and we talked to the mine, we were looking for 10 feet, 800 feet a minute, and 150 PSI. And they kind of gave us some assurances we're in that ballpark. But when we got out there, the face velocity was extreme. And once again, we're sampling. Here's our sampling locations. Basically, I walked the sheet, walked the length of the long wall in this location. The tailgate shear operator basically positioned himself within one or two shields of the tailgate drum, and then a calling of mine was upwind of this location. And we're trying to get, by subtracting these dust levels from this, the shear location and the downwind location, we can have some idea if this this tailgate manifold is working properly. Here's some of the data, the gravimetric data over a three-day period. And just summing up very quickly, with the manifold off, we were at 0.104. With the manifold on, we were 0.066, a 36% decrease. So we were happy with that. But realistically, think about it. 0.1 is very, very low. And can we say with 100% assurance was it the tailgate spray manifold? We're not sure about that. We think it did help. Looking at the instantaneous, the PDR data, we found pretty close to the same results. Now, with the PDR data, we're able to split data going from the tail to head and head to tail. And if we're looking at head to tail with the manifold off compared to the manifold on, we had a 64% reduction, and tail to head we had about 11% reduction. So with the conditions we were under, we were happy with that. It could have been better, but we definitely were happy with that. Summing that up, we think the phase velocity was the dominant dust control factor. When you're at 1,300 feet a minute, it's very hard to think otherwise. But very, very low dust levels. At the shear location, the average that we took with our samples was 0.8, and at the download sampling location was 0.9 milligrams per cubic meter. We don't see that very often underground. From quantitative dust sampling showed little differences in dust levels with the manifold off versus on, but we did see some reductions, and so we were happy about that. The manifold had a positive effect. More importantly, the tailgate operators liked it. They thought it was working. It did not get them wet. They thought it did a very good job of trying to contain that dust, basically coming off that tailgate drum down in that area, especially when they were moving towards the tailgate. When you have that the velocity coming down the face is interacting with that cowl, and everything is being pushed out in that area. So they said that they were going to use it. They were very positive about it. We would like to continue getting another observation underground and look at velocities closer to or less than 1,000 feet a minute, because those were the conditions we found in our laboratory. So that's basically what we've done down at the tailgate. We feel that some type of spray manifold down there will be very effective in controlling some of that dust. Now, in the last 10 years or so, traveling water curtains have become very, very common to try to control some of the dust, especially up at the headgate end of the shear. What we observed is dust and mist rolling into the walkway again, spalling upwind of the headgate drum. In our research study, now this is a study ongoing, is looking at proper sequencing of the sprays and effect of the shield sprays upwind of the splitter arm. Now, these shield sprays, as we found out, are a very effective tools. You know, if used properly, now, if you can see here, they're very good at containing that dust up against the face. They're also very good at keeping the dust that is rolled around those sprays out in the walkway. You know, and so it's critical that we sequence these properly. And then we saw this, the sequence of it was a problem the last time we looked underground. Once again, we're going to do a laboratory evaluation. It's ongoing, where we're trying to introduce dust upwind of the headgate drum, and basically right at the end of the splitter arm. And we've seen with some of our observations underground, a lot of the mines have that 45 degree angle, that extended arm, and they're trying to catch that dust. You know, and so what we feel, if we can introduce some sprays in this area, it might be very, very effective if that sequencing can happen. Our test conditions, we're testing splitter arm interaction and out-by spalling. We're on out-by spalling right now. We're going to hopefully in the next month or so start a series of tests in that area. We're looking at two-phase velocities. We've eliminated the holocone sprays. At the velocities coming down the face, they just create mist, and that mist rolls into the walkway. We're looking at flat fan sprays, two spray angles, and pressures of 150, 200, and 200 PSI. We're going to activate one shield, two sprays per shield, or two shields, and we're looking at different nozzle distances. We're trying to come up with the optimum location of those sprays so they try to contain that dust up against the face and also do not get the operators wet. Once I repeated, the tests are ongoing. We're looking, and here's a dust cloud. It's very hard to see, but we've created a dust cloud immediately upwind of the headgate drum. And what we've seen is this dust rolls around, and here's the end of the splitter arm. And here's one of our sampling racks, okay? And so what we do is we create this dust cloud. We see how much dust rolls around it. We introduced the splitter arm sprays. And then we introduced the splitter arm sprays plus the shield sprays in that area, the sequencing of them. What we found And what we're trying to do is optimize the spray characterization and synchronize in laboratory and optimize the tests underground. And hopefully, no. There's a couple slides missing here, and we took it from my stick onto here. But to let you know what we found with this research so far, and I'll go back. The dust levels, when we turn the splitter arm sprays on, there are three sampling locations, one right at the end of the splitter arm, one 30 inches downwind from there, and one 60 inches downwind from there. So there's three sampling locations. At sampling location 2 and 3, when we turned the splitter arm sprays on, dust levels went down. the split arm sprays are doing a very good job. At the first sampling location, they stayed the same or were elevated somewhat, and that was surprising. And what we think is happening is the pressure associated with these sprays is actually forcing this dust away into the walkway, and we're not sure. But those levels were elevated. When we turned the spray, the underside shield sprays on, all dust levels dropped dramatically. And so we're very encouraged with these preliminary type results. We want to do a sequence of tests and hopefully get some type of statistical data on it. We've gone over this. In summary, for the tailgate manifold, all manifold systems substantially reduced dust in the laboratory conditions, 55 to 95%. Flat fans are better than hollow cone. No apparent relationship between air velocity and reducing dust concentrations. Lower dust levels were observed underground. We're happy with those results. We do feel that the velocity down the face was somewhat of a critical factor there, and we would like to continue those type tests. We observed shear wind interaction with splitter arm sprays created turbulence. Dust and mist rolled around the walkway. Spalling is occurring upwind of that head gate drum. We're introducing some laboratory tests. And like I told you about a minute or two ago, spalling did occur in that first sampling location. Dust levels were elevated a little bit. And we think that the D sprays will contain this and help expand that area upwind of the head gate drum and downwind of the tailgate drum. I think that's all I have for you. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Over in Brewston, over in South Park, and you're invited out. Anybody here is invited out. We're at the final stage of modifying our long wall. We have a replica of a Joy 7LS and a replica of Joy 2-meter shields. And everybody that has walked through says it's very, very impressive. We can basically identify any type of spray system that you're looking for, and we can test it. We're also updating our continuous miner gallery with a new continuous miner, a replica of a Joy CM14. That will take place here by the end of this year, we hope. And so what we're finding is the way the industry is, we think we're going to do a lot more testing in our gallery and hopefully take these results underground. Yes. Is that it? Well, thank you very much.